This is Care Through Prayer Sunday, and at the end of my message, we're going to take a few moments to just pray for you as we do on every second Sunday, as we would do when we were together. We would have the elders come forward, and then we would have you all stand up and hold hands across the aisle, and that would then be our way of joining together before the Lord to celebrate what he has done and to ask him for what we need and what we would like to see him do in the future. After this morning's message, our dear sister Flamina will be offering us a worship offering. So please stay tuned after the message to hear her. And I'm sure you will be glad that you did. Okay, this morning's message. I'd like for you to turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Our message comes from this wonderful passage of scripture. And if you turn to Psalm 23, I'm going to read the entire thing. And you know, it's almost a law. Almost, but not exactly. But it is almost a law that when you read the 23rd Psalm, you have to do it from the King James Version. It just doesn't sound the same if you read it from one of our more modern translations. It's not that the King James Bible is more inspired than the others, but this is such a tradition and it's so familiar in the King James language that it almost seems sacrilegious to read it in some other translation. So we're going to be reading the 23rd Psalm, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. If you were tuning in before we began our streaming, just as the introduction, you heard Brother Keith Green, who was very popular in the 70s, singing his version of The Lord is My Shepherd. And then we had another version by Peter Nevels, and he sang The Lord is My Shepherd as well. So these are timeless words of encouragement. And boy, do we need encouragement in times like these. You know, these words, along with the rest of Psalm 23, have been like a faithful friend to countless generations of people. They've sat with individuals and families in trials and tribulations. They have been recited by children, by pastors, by priests, by rabbis. And this morning, I want us to focus only, though, on verse 4. We're going to focus on verse 4, and our message is titled, I Will Fear No Evil. It's simply titled, I Will Fear No Evil. And if you're looking for a main idea, you don't necessarily need one, but if you're looking for a main idea, it would be, predictably, I need fear no evil, because he is with me. I need fear no evil because he is with me. Now I want to unpack this precious truth this morning, and I pray that it blesses you as much as it is blessing me. The more I meditate on it, not just in my preparation for this morning, but as I have meditated on it in my own life, it has proven to be a tremendous source of blessing, and I hope you will experience it the same. The first thing that I want to look at when we talk about I will fear no evil, the first thing I want to look at as we examine verse 4, as we turn our microscopes on verse 4, is it talks about the valley of the shadow of death. And I want to say this, there are scary things in the valley of the shadow of death. There are scary things. The valley of the shadow of death being a metaphor for overwhelming trials and adversity. The valley of the shadow of death being life at its scariest, life at its most difficult, life when it's really a problem. I will fear no evil because you're with me, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It even sounds scary, the valley of the shadow of death. You know, faith never requires us to deny our reality. It never requires us to deny our humanness. What it asks of us is to properly frame our reality, to properly frame our humanness, and to look at it through the lens of God's truth, where we're not denying its impact on us, we're not denying how it makes us feel, but we're framing it and we're viewing it through the prism, through the lens of God's truth. That is what faith is. I thank God that my faith is not toppled because I feel a certain way, that I don't have to think I'm being faithless because I feel a certain way. I can be scared and I can also be full of faith at the same time. The valley of the shadow of death. We are walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even as I speak. Many of us are. This pandemic that we are going through, it is simply scary. I want to thank all of you who have been praying for our family, praying for our grandson, praying for his mom, praying for my wife Laverne, praying for me as we've been touched by this virus. And we're asking you to continue to pray for us. So far, all of us are feeling pretty good, and all of us are seeming to hold our own. No one is bedridden. No one is feeling anything out of the ordinary. And we thank you for your prayers. And I ask you to continue to pray. I want to ask you, however, to please remember to thank God on our behalf for his faithfulness to us. Even before you launch into praying for our protection and praying for our recovery, that's fine too, and it's not, I'm not being legalistic here, but I do ask that you would just thank God for his faithfulness to us on our behalf, and then launch into just knee-bending, gut-wrenching, fist-clenching prayer for us. But do thank him because he is being faithful to us right now. But this thing is scary. You know how it feels to me, if I could be honest? It feels like playing Russian roulette. It's like playing, like someone has placed a gun in your home and there are empty chambers and there's a bullet and everybody has to pull the trigger. I know that feels stark and that seems like it's very ominous, but that's kind of how it feels to me, is that we're forced to play this game. We don't know how it's going to turn out. We don't know who's going to be affected or if anyone is going to be more deeply affected than they are. But it is unsettling. It's scary, this pandemic. It definitely fits in the valley of the shadow of death. I also, just in terms of the way that it is affecting people financially, you know, it's unpredictable, and that makes it scary. This distress has shut down the economy, and people are, many families and individuals and businesses are trying to figure out what to do next. It's scary. And then you've got this awakening and unrest regarding racism that's taking place at the same time, and it's causing upheavals in our country. That's scary too. We don't know where it's going. We think something's being birthed, but we're also feeling the fabric of our country being torn at the seams. One sister called me up just this past week and was distressing and fearing for the future of her church. Her pastor is really going through it as he tries to navigate those waters with his congregation. And she's concerned about the long-term and the short-term impact that it's going to have on their ministry. It's scary. All this stuff happening at once. We just don't know how stressed out we are. But we all are, because nobody's in control of this thing. No human is in control of this thing. We've all been just pitched into the valley of the shadow of death. And those things are on top of the normal tribulations of life. You know, the stuff that we were dealing with before, all this stuff we're dealing with now, those things didn't go on vacation. They didn't take a hiatus. They continue to be a part of our lives too. And so we've got all of that we're dealing with. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, in this world, you will have tribulation. It's not abnormal for us to be experiencing this kind of stress, even though this particular kind of stress is abnormal. It's par for the course as we live our lives down here to go through tribulation. You know, I think about with so many of God's people as they walk their God-designated path, right in the center of God's will, there were disappointments, there were roadblocks, there were hiccups, there were dead ends, and even terrors. And the lesson for us is to not be alarmed. We can be scared. It's okay. But not to be alarmed as though something strange is happening when we encounter the same thing. Because in this world, we're going to have a tribulation. It's not only possible, but it's normal to be in the very center of God's will and still feel threats from all sides, still feel the valley of the shadow of death encroaching upon our lives, to feel like an overwhelming force, whatever it may be, is arrayed against us, to feel like a boat that's being tossed by waves and filling up with water, to feel like we have a multitude of need and only a few fish of resources. That's normal, to have a persistent devil of a problem that refuses to move even though we exhaust ourselves in prayer. That's normal. I just want to normalize the tribulation that we experience on this earth as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in this lifetime. It's normal to find ourselves in a position where we can neither trust completely in our own wisdom nor completely understand the Lord's. This is normal in the valley of the shadow of death. But because as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, here's what I'm discovering. Because I need not fear any evil. And we're going to talk about why in just a second. But because I need not fear any evil, I am, by God's grace, through his mercy, through his strength, not my smarts, not my strength, not my wisdom, but I am increasingly finding the absurdities of life, like the ones we're going through, those things that just come out of the blue, bringing with them an assortment of concern and unpleasantness. I'm finding those things to be, at this point in my life, more amusing than they are threatening. And some of you know what I'm talking about. It's not that they're not a threat, but I find them to be amusing. Not in a frivolous way, but because life is serious business. And as I just told you, it's scary. But by faith, I find it amusing. What I mean by that is it's amusing to consider how the Lord may once again, as he has in the past, creatively use the forces of good and the forces of evil to build a bridge that transports us from this side of trouble to fresh hope and to fresh inspiration on the other side. Sometimes he does that by getting rid of the trouble altogether, and sometimes he does that by just doing a deeper work in us and giving us a different perspective. But when I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death, these days, because of the Lord himself, I am finding it to be more amusing than threatening. And some of you have heard you even say it, Lord, how are you going to fix this time? What are you going to do this time? How are you going to make this right this time? How are you going to give me grace this time? How are you going to move this obstacle this time? That's what I mean by amusing. As our relationship with him strengthens, so does our confidence in his ability to use the elements in the valley of the shadow of death and build a bridge out of those things and lead us from this place of deep, dark distress to a place of joy and fresh hope and inspiration. So the first thing I wanted to point out is that there's scary things in the valley of the shadow of death. And if you're scared, it's okay. You're not faithless for being scared. It's what you do with your scaredness that determines how full of faith we are. And that takes me to the second thing I want to point out. The most dangerous evil assaults, it says, I will fear no evil. The most dangerous evil assaults take place within us. I'll say it again. The most dangerous evil assaults take place within us. Let me suggest to you today, brothers and sisters, that the evil that threatens us most doesn't come from the evil one's assaults on our lives. The most deadly assaults don't come from what may happen to us circumstantially. The most deadly assaults come from his attacks on our identity, on our standing with God, or how we perceive our standing with God. Okay, now you've heard that before. You say, yep, amen, Pastor, yep. Now I'm not talking about what we understand to be true. Because if you've been a believer for any length of time, you've heard that googles and googods of times, that the devil wants to attack our identity. I am not speaking today about what we understand to be true. I'm talking about what we believe to be true, what we believe to be true as it's demonstrated by our actions when the assaults on our identity occur. What happens when those attacks occur determines our belief. You see, the evil one is quite content to let us chew on the ideas about God's love and acceptance. It's tasty. So he's well content to let us chew on those ideas as long as we don't swallow them. He's content to let us chew on them as long as we don't digest them. He's content to let us chew on them as long as we don't metabolize them, as long as they don't become a part of us. I remember what Mike Tyson said. You remember Mike Tyson, the heavyweight champion way back in the 80s or so, in the late early 90s? Everybody was talking about what they were going to do when they got in the ring with Mike Tyson. He was knocking people out left and right. And he said, everybody has a plan until they get hit. Everybody's got a plan until they hit. What do you think about your relationship with God? What do you think about your status with God? What do you think about your standing with God when you get hit? When you get hit with what the scripture calls the accusations of the evil one, as he is identified. He is identified as the accuser of the brethren. What do you do when you get hit? What do you do when all the pistons of your faith aren't all firing? What do you do when you feel like you're sputtering? What do you do when you feel like you're stalling out? When your ride isn't smooth? What do you do when you get hit? What do you do when you're sputtering? That determines what we really believe. See, last week we talked about God's faithfulness to us and the importance of how we interpret the circumstances of those whom we love when they're in trouble. And we talked about how God is always faithful and there's never any room for us to feel sorry for another believer. Compassion, sensitivity, love, heartfelt sympathy, a desire to get in and help and care, all of that is great. And by the way, thank you all for that again, for just jumping in and wanting to do whatever you can to help us. We appreciate it and we want it, we need it. We need it. We need your prayers and we need your help. So last week we talked about that. But today what I'm talking about is mostly God's faithfulness to protect our minds from the accusations of the evil one. And that's why we don't have to fear any evil. God is a defender of our thoughts as well as he is a defender of our lives. As well as he is a defender and a provider circumstantially, he is also a protector of our minds, a protector of our thoughts. If God was not protecting our minds, we could not be sustained by faith. The evil would have long since convinced us that God thinks that we're the scum of the earth because of what we've done. But because God is faithful to protect our thoughts, he has insulated us from that. He's a defender of our thoughts as well as of our circumstances. When it says, I will fear no evil, I want to take it to another place because usually we think circumstantially. Whatever happens to me, I don't need to fear that. That's what I just spoke about under point one, that there's scary things in the valley of the shadow of death. But when it says, I will fear no evil, it not only includes or it not only involves the evil that may befall me from circumstances, it also includes the evil that comes to me and wells up within me, the evil that the evil one tries to put in my head. It includes evil thoughts that may invade my mind. I will fear no evil thoughts because you're with me. It includes faithless attitudes. It includes dark moods. It includes bitter memories. It includes feelings of shame. It includes discouragement. Discouragement that sometimes feel like it's set in like stubborn stains and it refuses to be removed even with a pre-spotting, if you will, of praise and a continual washing of prayer. When those things set in and they don't seem to be moving, God is still protecting us and we need not fear any evil. And the evil one throws them up in your face. Even then, I will fear no evil attack. I will fear no evil because he is still with me. He doesn't abandon me when I am in trouble. He doesn't abandon me when I'm troubled. He doesn't even abandon me when I am the trouble. He is always with me. I will fear no evil because you are with me. To fear no evil, brothers and sisters, all we need to remember is that he is with us. And he is with us, Psalm 68 tells us, he's with us to bear our burdens, not to judge them. He is with us to bear our burdens, not to judge them. And so if we think that God is sitting back evaluating how well we're doing when we're assaulted in our minds by the evil one, we've got a wrong view. We need to see that he is sitting there right with us, helping us to bear the load, helping us to deal with it, helping us to understand the truth. Let me tell you about something that happened to me a bunch of years ago that I never forgot. I was living in a house back in Michigan. And you know, Michigan gets cold. Our beloved Bobby and Dina are moving to Wisconsin. My heart is with you, brother. I'll be praying for your warmth because Wisconsin, I'll be praying for you both because Wisconsin is sure enough cold and Michigan is its twin brother. It gets sure enough cold there. And I remember I was living in this drafty house back in Michigan and the draft was coming through and it was winning and I was losing. And but there was one spot in the house. It was sort of off near the we had this screened in porch and there was this one area where you could sit down and it was the warmest place in the house, even though it was cold too, you know, but it was the warmest spot. And I realized that at that time, and you know, just logic told me that, listen, if you ain't gonna get warm here, you ain't getting warm anyplace else. This is the warmest spot in the house. No matter how cold it is, this is the warmest place. And it doesn't make any sense to go anywhere else. And you know what? There was a metaphor in that I never forgot when it comes to my relationship with the Lord. I realized that no matter how cold I am, the warmest love on earth, the warmest love on earth always comes from Him. No matter how bad I am, the warmest love on earth comes from Him. No matter how dull I am, the warmest love on earth comes from Him. I'm not going to find it someplace else. At my worst, He has never made me shrink away in shame. Thank you, Jesus. At my worst, He has never made me shrink away in shame. He's never kicked me when I was down. He's never added insult to injury. He's never rubbed it in my face. He's never said, "I told you so." All He has done has been to embrace me when I have come to Him. At my worst, He's never poured salt in my wounds. Even when He has had to show me, and God is a God of truth, even when He's shown me the ugly truth about what I've said, or about what I've done, or about what I'm thinking, He's done so with grace. He's done so with mercy. He's done so with tenderness. He's done so with compassion. He's done so as the God of comfort, because He is the warmest love on the planet. And whatever the evil one tells you about you, remember that He's the warmest place in the house. Remember when David sinned and God gave him some options? He said, "What shall I do? Shall you be chased by your enemies? Shall you have disease?" Or He gave him these options. And the Lord said, and David said to Him, essentially, "Lord, I'm coming to you. You decide. I'm going to put myself in your hands because your mercy is great. I don't want to fall in the hands of man." See, men are limited in their ability to give that kind of love. God is unlimited. God is unlimited. And David was wise enough to know that God's love is the warmest place in the house. It's the warmest place on earth. You know, thinking about these things, I had to, this earlier this week, thinking about these things, I had to give the Lord a praise. I had a shout out praise to Him the other day as my heart was filled up with these truths. And I said to Him, "Lord, my desire for You, which increases every day, my desire for You, You are the best thing about today." I tell Him this every day. "Lord, You are the best thing about today. It's not that I need to think of You that way. It is a fact. You are the best thing about today. The best thing about today is I get to live it with You. I get to process it with You. I get to walk it with You. I get to talk it with You. I get to share it with You. I get to share Your life with You. You get to share Your life with me. The best thing about today is that I get to live it with You. You, Lord, are my supreme desire." And I said to Him, I said, "Lord, my desire for You is always welcomed. My desire for You is always welcomed. And it's always enriched by Your desire for me." Do you believe that about the Lord's perspective of you? Do you believe that about your identity? Even when the evil one assaults you and accuses you, and even when the devil's telling the truth, he's lying. He'll take the Bible and lie with the Bible, as he did with Jesus. When the devil is accusing you, when he's distorting your record, and that's what he does, see, he'll point something out that's true in the record, but it's not true about your identity. I'm going to say something about that in a minute. But I just had to thank the Lord that my desire for You, Lord, is always welcome, and it's enriched by Your desire. No matter how successful or unsuccessful I think I have been, I thank You for that. See, the Lord is involved in your life, even when you don't feel involved in His. And there are times we go long stretches where we're just kind of just on autopilot. But the Lord is involved in your life even when you don't feel involved in His. He's active in your life even when you don't feel very active in His. He's connected to you even when you don't feel connected to Him. He was drawing you near to Himself when you weren't even inclined, when you weren't even thinking about drawing near to him. How much more so now that you're crying out to him and you're saying, Lord, I want to know you better. I want to draw in. How much more so now? See, the directive in scripture is given for us to guard our thoughts. But we're invited to turn to the Lord to help us with our thoughts. We're not on our own. Sometimes we think, again, God is judging us for our thoughts instead of being there to help to bear the burden with us of those thoughts, to protect us and defend us. David wrote in Psalm 55, cast your burdens on the Lord and he will sustain you. 1 Peter 5 beckons us to cast all of our anxious thoughts on him, whatever their source, whatever their source. And Psalm 94, 19 tells us this, in the multitude of my thoughts, the King James says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. When anxiety was great within me, another translation says, your consolations brought joy to my soul. This is what the Lord wants to be to us. The evil one will always try to get you to focus on what you have done, but never on who you are. Remember that, brothers and sisters. The evil one will always pull up your record and show you what you've done, but he'll never talk to you about who you are. You know, you are not defined by your weaknesses. You are not defined by your sinfulness. But many Christians fall into the snare of defining themselves by their behavior instead of by their identity in Christ. It's a snare because when things are going good, and sometimes we hit those stretches where we're sailing, things are going good. It's a snare because when things are going good, pride is not far away. And pride goes before the what? Before the fall. Not the spring, not the summer, not the winter, the fall. Pride goes before the fall. When things are going well, we tend to start trusting in our record instead of trusting in our Savior. And when things are going bad, shame is not far away. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. And that's what happens when we start focusing on our record instead of our identity in Christ. But when we focus on Christ, we have no reason for pride. And we have no cause for shame because our worthwhileness, our worthiness, our acceptableness, if you will, our righteousness, to be absolutely biblical, is in him. You know the song, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's a song that I think it would do us good to sing every single morning because we usually think of it as an evangelistic song. It was part of Billy Graham's crusade for decades when he would call people to Christ. They play just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's an excellent praise song. That's an excellent praise phrase. If you just sing that in the morning, if you just say it at night, if you just say it at the noontime, it'll help us to orient ourselves to how God sees us and what is the basis of our confidence in his love for us. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. Paul put it like this in Galatians 6:14. May I never boast except in the cross of Christ. You know, there's some truth to that old saying, tell the truth and shame the devil. There's some truth to that because the devil seeks to shame us for our ugly feelings, for our ugly thoughts. God doesn't want to have anything to do with you, he whispers, while you're thinking that way, while you're acting that way, while you're feeling that way. But when we dare to share our secrets with the Lord, when we dare to share our secrets with the Lord, the devil is the one who is shamed Because then, as I explained earlier, and as I'm sure many of you have experienced, when we share our hearts with the Lord, shame does not come forth. What comes forth from the throne of heaven is grace and mercy to help us in time of need. I was watching one of my wife's TV shows the other day, and there was this triangle love interest going on, and there was two guys who were interested in the same woman. And the one guy, when he failed to be able to woo the woman, tried to spoil her for the other guy. And he says to him, "Let me tell you what she did to me." And he spills the beans about what this woman had done. And you know what the other guy said? He said, "Oh, I know. She told me that already." Oops. What? The man was completely defenseless. He had nothing to say. He looked like he'd swallowed a rotten turnip. He had his face twisted all up because the power of his accusation was gone because of her confession. And you see, when we have a trusting relationship with the Lord, brothers and sisters, the evil one can't accuse us of anything that we haven't already revealed to the Lord. But we don't reveal those things to the Lord if we let him get in our heads and think that somehow your evil thoughts are making you a pariah to God and he doesn't want to have anything to do with you and you should be ashamed of yourself. No, don't be ashamed of yourself. Draw near to the throne of grace with confidence. That's what you do. Expose your heart and your mind and your thoughts and your ugliest notions, the things that you wouldn't tell anybody else. You tell him, and it takes the power of the evil one's accusations right out of his head, and he looks like he's been eating rotten turnips. When we dare to share our secrets with the Lord, he's the one who is ashamed. And the lies that he wants to tell us about God then that kept us fearful are exposed. So here's the final thing I want to say. If the Lord is with me, Pastor Dan, if the Lord is with me, why do I sometimes feel so disconnected? And I just want to say this. Don't fret, brother. Don't fret, sister. And definitely do not panic. When your connection with the Lord seems to go from four bars to one or none, where it says no signal, if that's how it feels to you, that's normal. That happens at times. It doesn't mean there's something wrong. As we move about and as we go through this life, that's what happens. We hit those spots where we feel like we're not connected. But that's all that is, brother. That's all that is, sister. It's a feeling. See, here's what's important to keep in mind. Our signal is not the same as God's signal. Our receptivity to the Lord from day to day and moment to moment is influenced by factors that can never affect him. You see, our feeling of connection with the Lord can be influenced by things like a poor night's sleep. You just didn't get enough sleep. Or mental fatigue, or emotional distress. Something's going on and you're feeling so distressed that it can affect the way that we perceive our connection with him. And yes, the influence of the evil one is also a part of that. Spiritual forces wreaking havoc. But it doesn't matter what you feel. God cares about how you feel. But what you feel does not determine your connection with him. Thank God for that. Amen. He is with you. I won't fear any evil because you are with me. And there are multitudes of verses that tell us that the Lord is with us. Isaiah 41:10 being one of them. Do not fear, for I am with you. Matthew 28 being another one saying, I am with you always till the end of the earth, even to the end of the age. So don't be confused when you feel disconnected. Regardless of our perception of our signal, we have God's assurance that he is always with us and will never leave us, and none of our calls to him are ever dropped. Never dropped. So we need fear no evil, whether it's done to us whether it's said about us, whether we're thinking it, whether it wells up from within, whether it comes from the evil one, we need fear no evil, neither circumstantially nor mentally, because he is with us. And that's all I want to share with you this morning, brothers and sisters. I want to take a moment to pray for you as we do during our Care Through Prayer Sunday. And afterwards, Sister Flamina will give us her worship offering. But I pray that this would be a blessing to your spirit, that you would remember this week that you need fear no evil, because he is with you. Not just the external evil. Don't be afraid of the evil that wells up within and that attacks and assaults your mind, because he's just as faithful to be a protector and a provider and a guide when that happens as he is taking care of the stuff that could happen to our lives physically. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I want to thank you for blessing us with this simple truth of not needing to fear evil, whatever its origin, whatever, Lord, its manifestation. We know, Lord, that the evil one is a liar. We know that he is a deceiver. We know that he is a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. We know, Lord, that you are protecting us. The world has no idea how protected they are being by you, because the evil one is a murderer. And if he had his way, there wouldn't be a living soul on the planet. We don't think of it that way, but that's the truth. He's a murderer. He is bloodthirsty. My dear wife was talking to me about some story that she'd read about some heinous act, and she wondered, how could a human being do this to another human being? That's just the tip of the iceberg, Lord. The evil one is not just mischievous. He's malevolent, and he can inspire the most heinous acts of violence and murder and distress and grief and turmoil upon the earth. But we thank you that you are being faithful to us and protecting us from the schemes of the evil one. And we thank you that you are sheltering the earth. Even though the earth is ungrateful, the world is ungrateful, you by your mercy are protecting it from the full force and effect of the evil one as he seeks to wreak havoc on this planet. I pray for my dear brothers and sisters, Lord, who are tuning in now and joining me in prayer. I pray for each one, Lord, whatever their situation may be. I pray for their families, that you protect them, Lord, from the evil one's schemes to try to wreak havoc in their homes, whether it's from relational issues or whether it's from the fear of this pandemic or whether it's from being enclosed. I pray for their health, that you keep them safe, that you continue to protect them. I pray for their finances, that Lord, during this time, Lord, when things are so uncertain, that you would protect the finances of those, Lord, who are tuning in, who are listening and joining me in prayer at this time. I pray that you protect their jobs, that you give them peace, that you give them favor, that you give them whatever they need, Lord, in order to be secure. And I ask, Lord, that you continue to protect them spiritually, most of all, from the devil lying to them about who you are. And I pray, Lord, that you would just insulate them with the truth, that they might be strong and courageous, not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. Lord, we ask you and we thank you and we praise you for giving us this life at this time, in these days, with these circumstances, because you want to be glorified in us and through us. We ask for our church family that through all of this, Lord, you would help us to know you better. We ask that you'd help us to love each other more. And we ask that you'd help each one of us to take possession of how special we are to you and to display and dispense the effects that you have placed within each one of us uniquely as stewards of your manifold grace. And now may the love of God and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide with each of us now and forever. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for your patience on a technically bumpy day. And we pray that God will bless you this week. Please stay tuned for our dear sister Flamina. She wants to bless us, and God wants to bless us through her. So have a wonderful week, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.